Is your ladyship at home this afternoon?
Yes. Who has called?
Lord Darlington, my lady.
Show him in, Parker.
Lady Windermere's Fan by Oscar Wilde. Dramatised for radio by Micheline Wanda. With Eleanor Tremaine as Lady Windermere and Jonathan Cake as Lord Windermere.
Lord Darlington, my lady.
How do you do, Lady Windermere?
How do you do, Lord Darlington? I can't shake hands with you. My hands are all wet with these roses. Aren't they lovely?
Oh, they are quite perfect. Oh, and what a wonderful fan.
Pretty, isn't it? It's got my name on and everything. It's my husband's birthday present to me. You know today is my birthday.
No. Is it really?
Yes. I'm of age today, 21. Quite an important day in my life. That is why I'm giving this party tonight. Do sit down.
I wish I'd known it was your birthday, Lady Windermere. I would have covered the whole street in front of your house with flowers for you to walk on.
Lord Darlington, you annoyed me last night at the Foreign Office. I'm afraid you're going to annoy me again.
I, Lady Windermere? Oh, you must tell me what I did.
Well, you kept paying me elaborate compliments the whole evening.
But nowadays we're all of us so hard up that the only pleasant things to pay are compliments.
I'm quite serious. I don't like compliments. And I don't see why a man should think he is pleasing a woman enormously when he says to her a whole heap of things that he doesn't mean.
Ah, but I did mean them.
I hope not. Lord Darlington, I like you very much. But I shouldn't like you at all if I thought you were what most other men are. Believe me, you are better than most other men, and I sometimes think you pretend to be worse.
Oh, nowadays, so many conceited people go about society pretending to be good that I think it shows rather a sweet and modest disposition to pretend to be bad. Besides, if you pretend to be good, the whole world takes you very seriously. If you pretend to be bad, it doesn't.
Don't you want the world to take you seriously, then, Lord Darlington?
I should like you to take me very seriously, Lady Windermere. You more than anyone else in life.
Why? Why me?
Well, because I think we might be great friends. We all want friends at times.
I think we're very good friends already, Lord Darlington. We can always remain so, as long as you don't spoil it by saying extravagant, silly things to me. I have something of the Puritan in me. My mother died when I was a mere child. I lived always with Lady Julia, my father's elder sister. She was stern to me, but she taught me the difference between what is right and what is wrong. She allowed of no compromise. I allow of none.
Oh, my dear Lady Windermere.
Nowadays people seem to look on life as a speculation. It is not a speculation. It is a sacrament. Its ideal is love. Its purification is sacrifice.
Oh, anything is better than being sacrificed.
Don't say that.
I do say it. I feel it. I know it. Do you think... Of course, I am only putting an imaginary instance. Do you think that in the case of a young married couple, say about 2 years married... If the husband suddenly becomes the intimate friend of a woman of, well, more than doubtful character, he is always calling upon her, lunching with her, and probably paying her bills. Do you think that the wife should not console herself?
Console herself?
Yes. I think she should. I think she has the right.
Because the husband is vile, should the wife be vile also?
Vileness is a terrible word, Lady Windermere.
It is a terrible thing, Lord Darlington.
It is absurd to divide people into good and bad. People are either charming or tedious. I take the side of the charming. And you, Lady Windermere, can't help belonging to them.
Now, Lord Darlington. No, don't stir. I'm merely going to finish my flowers.
I must say, I think you're very hard on modern life, Lady Windermere. Of course, there is much against it, I admit. Most women, for instance, nowadays, are rather mercenary.
Don't talk about such people.
Well, then, setting aside mercenary people, who, of course, are dreadful, do you think seriously that women who have committed what the world calls a fault should never be forgiven?
I think that they should never be forgiven.
and men. Do you think that there should be the same laws for men as there are for women?
Certainly.
I think life too complex a thing to be settled by these hard and fast rules.
If we had these hard and fast rules, we should find life much more simple.
You allow no exceptions?
None.
What a fascinating Puritan you are, Lady Windermere.
The adjective was unnecessary, Lord Darlington.
I couldn't help it. I can resist everything except temptation.
You have the modern affectation of weakness.
It is only an affectation, Lady Windermere.
The Duchess of Berwick and Lady Agatha Carlyle.
Dear Margaret, I'm so pleased to see you. Oh, and how do you do, Lord Darlington? I won't let you know my daughter. You're far too wicked.
Oh, don't say that, Duchess, as a wicked man. I am a complete failure.
Isn't he dreadful? Agatha, this is Lord Darlington. And mind you, don't believe a word he says.
Yes, Mama.
We just had tea at Lady Markby's. It was quite undrinkable. I wasn't at all surprised. Her own son-in-law supplies it. Agatha is looking forward so much to your ball tonight, dear Margaret.
Oh, you mustn't think it's going to be a ball, Duchess. It is only a dance in honour of my birthday.
A very select dance, Duchess.
Of course it's going to be select. But we know that, dear Margaret, about your house. It is really one of the few houses in London where I can take Agatha and where I feel perfectly secure about dear Berwick. The most dreadful people seem to go everywhere. They certainly come to my parties. The men get quite furious if you don't ask them. Really, someone should make a stand against it.
I will, Duchess. I will have no one in my house about whom there is any scandal.
Oh, don't say that, Lady Windermere. I should never be admitted.
Oh, men don't matter. With women it's different. We're good.
It's a curious thing, Duchess, about the game of marriage. A game, by the way, that's going out of fashion. The wives hold all the honours and invariably lose the odd trick.
The odd trick? Is that the husband, Lord Darlington?
It would be rather a good name for the modern husband.
Oh, dear Lord Darlington, how thoroughly depraved you are.
Lord Darlington is trivial.
Oh, don't say that, Lady Windermere.
Why do you talk so trivially about life, then?
Because I think that life is far too important a thing ever to talk seriously about it.
What does he mean? Do as a concession to my poor wits, Lord Darlington. Just explain to me what you really mean.
I think I had better not, Duchess. Nowadays, to be intelligible is to be found out. And now, Lady Windermere, goodbye. I may come tonight, mayn't I?
Yes, certainly. But you're not to say foolish, insincere things to people.
Ah, you're beginning to reform me. It's a dangerous thing to reform anyone, Lady Windermere. Goodbye, Duchess.
Goodbye, Lord Darlington. Oh, what a charming, wicked creature. I like him so much, I'm quite delighted he's gone. How sweet you're looking. Where do you get your gowns? Agatha, darling.
Yes, Mama.
Will you go and look over that photograph album?
Yes, Mama.
Dear girl, she's so fond of photographs of Switzerland. Such a pure taste, I think. But I really am so sorry for you, Margaret.
Why, Duchess?
Oh, on account of that horrid woman. She dresses so well, too, which makes it much worse. Sets such a dreadful example. My disreputable brother Augustus is completely infatuated about her. It is quite scandalous, for she's absolutely inadmissible into society. I mean, many women has a past, but I'm told she has at least a dozen.
Who are you talking about, Duchess?
About Mrs. Erlynne.
Mrs. Erlynne? I've never heard of her. And what has she to do with me?
My poor child. Agatha, darling.
Yes, Mama?
Will you go out on the terrace and look at the sunset?
Yes, Mama.
Sweet girl, so devoted to sunsets, shows such refinement of feeling.
But what is it, Duchess?
I assure you, we're all so distressed about it. And only last night at dear Lady Jansen's, everyone was saying how extraordinary it was that of all men in London, Windermere should behave in such a way.
My husband? What has he got to do with any woman of that kind?
Ah, what indeed, dear? That is the point. He goes to see her continually and stops for hours at a time. And while he is there, she is not at home to anyone. Not that many ladies call on her, dear, but she has a great many disreputable men friends, and that is what makes it so dreadful about Windermere. We looked upon him as being such a model husband, but I'm afraid there's no doubt about it. My dear nieces, you know the Saville gals, don't you? Plain, dreadfully plain, but so good. Well, they're always at the window doing fancy work and making ugly things for the poor, which I think so useful of them in these dreadful socialist days. And this terrible woman has taken a house in Curzon Street, right opposite them. Such a respectable street, too. And they tell me that Windermere goes there 4 and 5 times a week. They see him. And although they never talk scandal, they remark on it to everyone. I have been told that this woman has got a great deal of money out of somebody, for it seems that she came to London 6 months ago without anything at all to speak of. And now she has this charming house in Mayfair, drives her ponies in the park every afternoon, and all, well, all since she has known poor dear Windermere.
Oh, I can't believe
it. But it's quite true, my dear. The whole of London knows it. That is why I thought it better to come and talk to you and advise you to take Windermere away at once to Homburg or Aix, where he'll have something to amuse him and where you can watch him all day long.
Duchess, it's impossible. We are married only 2 years. Our child is but 6 months old.
Ah, the dear pretty baby. How is the little darling? Is it a boy or a girl? I hope it's a girl. Oh, no. I remember it's a boy. I'm so sorry. Boys are so wicked. My boy is excessively immoral. You wouldn't believe at what hours he comes home.
Are all men bad?
Oh, all of them, my dear, all of them. And they never grow any better. Men become old, but they never become good.
Windermere and I married for love.
Yes, we begin like that. It was only Berwick's brutal and incessant threats of suicide that made me accept him at all as a husband. And before the year was out, he was running after all kinds of petticoats, every colour, every shape, every material. In fact, before the honeymoon was over, I caught him winking at my maid, a most pretty, respectable girl. I passed her on to my sister. And now, my dear child, I must go. Now, mind you don't take this little aberration of Windermere's too much to heart. Just take him abroad, and he'll come back to you all right.
Come back to me?
Yes, dear. These wicked women get our husbands away from us, but they always come back. Slightly damaged, of course. And don't make scenes. Men hate them.
It's very kind of you, Duchess, to come and tell me all this. But I can't believe that my husband is untrue to me.
Pretty child. I was like that once. My dear Margaret, you're not going to cry, are you?
You needn't be afraid, Duchess. I never cry.
That's quite right, dear. Crying is the refuge of plain women, but the ruin of pretty ones. Agatha, darling.
Yes, Mama.
Now come and bid goodbye to Lady Windermere and thank her for your charming visit. Oh, and by the way, I must thank you for sending an invitation to Mr. Hopper. He's that rich young Australian people are taking such notice of just at present. His father made a great fortune by selling some kind of food in circular tins. Most palatable, I believe. I fancy it is the thing the servants always refuse to eat. I think Mr. Hopper's attracted by dear Agatha's clever talk. Of course, we should be very sorry to lose her. But I think that a mother who doesn't part with a daughter every season has no real affection. We're coming tonight, dear. Goodbye. Come, Agatha.
How horrible. I understand now what Lord Darlington meant by the imaginary instance of the couple not 2 years married. It can't be true. She spoke of enormous sums of money paid to this woman. I know where Arthur keeps his bank book. I will find out. Some hideous mistake. Some silly scandal. He loves me. I'm his wife. I have a right to look. I knew it. Not a word of truth in this stupid story. A second book. Locked. Mrs. Erlynne. £600. Mrs. Erlynne. £700. Mrs. Erlynne. £400. Oh, it's true. It is true. How horrible.
Well, dear, has the fan been sent home yet? my bank book.
You are found out.
You have no right to do such a thing. A wife should not spy on her husband.
I did not spy on you. I never knew of this woman's existence till 10 minutes ago. Someone was kind enough to tell me what everyone in London knows already. Your daily visits to Curzon Street. Your mad infatuation. The monstrous sums of money you squander on this infamous woman.
Margaret! Don't talk like that of Mrs. Erlynne. You don't know how unjust it is.
You are very jealous of Mrs. Erlynne's honour. I wish you'd been as jealous of mine.
Your honour is untouched, Margaret. You don't think for a moment
I think that you spend your money strangely, that is all. Don't imagine I mind about the money. What I do mind is that you who have loved me, you who have taught me to love you, should pass from the love that is given to the love that is bought. It's horrible.
Don't say that, Margaret. I never loved anyone in the whole world but you.
Who is this woman, then? Why do you take a house for her?
I did not take a house.
You gave her the money to do it, which is the same thing.
Margaret, as far as I have known Mrs. Erlynne...
Is there a Mr. Erlynne, or is he a myth?
Her husband died many years ago. She's alone in the world.
No relations?
None.
How curious, isn't it?
Margaret, I beg you to listen to me. As far as I have known, Mrs. Erlynne, she has conducted herself well. If years ago
Want details about her life.
I'm not going to give you any details about her life. I tell you simply this. Mrs. Erlynne was once honored, loved, respected. She was well-born. She had position. She lost everything, threw it away. Well, that makes it all more bitter. Misfortunes one can endure. They come from outside. They're accidents. But to suffer for one's own faults, oh, there is the sting of life. It was 20 years ago, too. She was little more than a girl then. She had been a wife for even less time than you have.
You should not mention this woman and me in the same breath. It is an error of taste.
Margaret, you could save this woman. She wants to get back into society, and she wants you to help her.
Me?
Yes, you.
How impertinent of her.
Margaret, I came to ask you a great favor. I want you to send her an invitation for our party tonight.
You are mad.
I entreat you. People may chatter about her, do chatter about her, of course, but they don't know anything definite against her. She's been to several houses where women who are in what is called society nowadays go. That does not content her. She wants you to receive her once.
As a triumph for her, I suppose.
No, but because she knows that you're a good woman. And that if she comes here once, she will have a chance of a happier, a surer life. Won't you help her?
No! If a woman really repents, she never wishes to return to the society that has made or seen her ruin.
I beg of you.
Arthur, you fancy because I have no father or mother that I am alone in the world and that you can treat me as you choose. You are wrong. I have many friends.
Oh, Margaret, you're talking foolishly, recklessly. I won't argue with you. But I insist upon your asking Mrs. Erlynne tonight.
I shall do nothing of the kind.
You refuse?
Absolutely.
How hard good women are.
How weak bad men are.
Margaret, none of us men may be good enough for the women we marry, but you don't imagine I would ever... Oh, the suggestion is monstrous.
Why should you be different from other men? I'm told that there is hardly a husband in London who does not waste his life over some shameful passion.
I am not one of them. Sit down and write the card.
Nothing in the whole world would induce me.
Then I will.
Arthur, if that woman comes here, I should insult
her. Margaret, don't say that.
I mean it.
Child, if you did such a thing, there's not a woman in London who wouldn't pity you.
There's not a good woman in London who would not applaud me. You gave me this fan today. If that woman crosses my threshold, I shall strike her across the face with it.
Margaret, you couldn't do such a thing.
You don't know me. Arthur, if that woman comes here, I warn you.
Margaret, you'll ruin us.
Us? From this moment, my life is separate from yours. I forbid her to come here.
She must come.
Then I shall do exactly as I have said. You leave me no choice.
Margaret. Margaret! What shall I do? I dare not tell her who this woman really is. The shame would kill her.
Mr. Hopper is very late. You have kept those five dancers for him, Agatha?
Yes, Mama.
Let me see your dance card. I'm so glad Lady Windermere's revived cards. They're a mother's only safeguard. You dear, simple little thing. No nice girl should ever waltz with younger sons. It looks so fast. The last two dancers you might pass on the terrace with Mr. Hopper.
Yes, Mama.
The air is so pleasant there.
Good evening, Lady Flindale. I suppose this will be the last ball of the season.
I suppose so, Mr. Dumby. It's been a delightful season, hasn't it?
Quite delightful. Good evening, Duchess. I suppose this will be the last ball of the season.
I suppose so, Mr. Dunby. It has been a very dull season, hasn't it?
Dreadfully dull. Dreadfully dull.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Dunby. I suppose this will be the last ball of the season.
Oh, I think not.
Lady Jeffrey.
There'll probably be two more.
Miss Brent. Mr. Hopper. How do you do, Duchess?
Oh, dear Mr. Hopper, how nice of you to come so early. We all know how you are run after in London.
Capital place, London. They're not nearly so exclusive in London as they are in Sydney.
Do you know, Mr. Hopper, dear Agatha and I are so much interested in Australia. It must be so pretty with all the dear little kangaroos flying about. Agatha has found it on the map. What a curious shape it is. Just like a large packing case. However, it is a very young country, isn't it?
Wasn't it made at the same time as the others, Duchess?
How clever you are, Mr. Hopper. You have a cleverness quite of your own. Now, I mustn't keep you.
Well, I should like to dance with Lady Agatha, Duchess.
Well, I hope she has a dance left. Have you a dance left, Agatha?
Yes, Mama.
The next one?
Yes, Mama.
May I have the pleasure?
Mind you take great care of my little chatterbox,
Lord Mr. Augustus Lawton. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur
Barton. I must speak to you.
One moment, Arthur.
Ah, Windermere, dear boy. Lady Windermere.
Lord Augustus, if you will, forgive me.
Of course, my dear lady. I want to speak to you particularly, Windermere. What I want to know is this. Who is she? Where did she come from? Why hasn't she got any relations? Damn useless relations, where they made one so damned respectable.
You are talking of Mrs. Early, yes. I suppose. I only met her 6 months ago. Till then, I never knew of her existence.
You've seen a good deal of her since then?
Yes, I have seen a good deal of her since then. I have just seen her.
The women are very down on her. I've been dining with Arabella this evening, by Jove. You should have heard what she said about Mrs. Early. She didn't leave a rag on her. Beric and I told her that didn't matter much, as the lady in question must have an extremely fine figure. You should have seen Arabella's expression. But look here, dear boy. I don't know what to do about Mrs. Erling. Gad, I might be married to her. She treats me with such damned indifference. She's deuced clever, too. She explains everything. She explains you. She's got any amount of explanations for you. And all of them different.
No explanations are necessary about my friendship with Mrs. Early.
Well, look here, dear old fellow. Do you think she will ever get into this damn thing called society? Would you introduce her to your wife? No use beating about the confounded bush. Would you do that?
Mrs. Erlin is coming here tonight.
Your wife has sent her a card?
Mrs. Erlin has received a card.
She's all right, dear boy. Why didn't you tell me that before? It would have saved me a heap of misunderstandings.
Cecil, good of you to come.
Good evening, Arthur. Been dining with my people. Wonder why it is one's people are always so tedious. My father would talk morality after dinner. I told him he was old enough to know better. But my experience is that as soon as people are old enough to know better, they don't know anything at all.
Hello, Tubby.
Hey, you're going to be married again. Thought you were tired of that game.
You're excessively trivial, my dear boy, excessively trivial.
By the way, Tuppy, which is it? Have you been twice married and once divorced, or twice divorced and once married? I say you've been twice divorced and once married. It seems so much more probable.
I have a very bad memory. I really don't remember which.
Windermere, I have something most particular to ask you.
I'm afraid, Cecil, if you will excuse me, I must join my wife. Margaret, I must speak to you.
Will you hold my fan for me, Lord Darlington?
Certainly, Lady Windermere.
Thank you. Well, Arthur.
Margaret, what you said before dinner was, of course, impossible.
That woman is not coming here tonight.
Mrs. Erlynne is coming here, and if you in any way annoy her or wound her, you will bring shame and sorrow on us both. Margaret! Only trust me. A wife should trust her husband.
London is full of women who trust their husbands. One can always recognize them. They look so thoroughly unhappy. I am not going to be one of them. Lord Darlington, will you give me back my fan, please?
Yes, of course.
Thanks. A useful thing, a fan, isn't it? I want a friend tonight, Lord Darlington. I didn't know I would want one so soon.
Lady Windermere, I knew the time would come someday. But why tonight?
Margaret.
Mrs. Erlynne.
You've dropped your fan, Lady Windermere. Allow me.
How do you do again, Lord Windermere? Is that your wife?
It is, yes.
How charming and sweet she looks. Quite a picture.
It was terribly rash of you to come.
The wisest thing I ever did in my life. And by the way, you must pay me a good deal of attention this evening. I'm afraid of the women. You must introduce me to some of them. The men I can always manage.
How do you do, Lord Augustus? You have quite neglected me lately. I've not seen you since yesterday. I'm afraid you were faithless. Everyone told me so.
Oh, now, really, Mrs. Erlynne, allow me to explain.
No, dear Lord Augustus, you can't explain anything. It is your chief charm.
How pale you are, Lady Windermere.
Cowards are always pale.
You look faint. Come out on the terrace.
Very well.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Graham?
Mrs. Erlynne.
Isn't that your aunt, Lady Jedburgh? I should so much like to know her.
Oh, certainly, if you wish it. Aunt Caroline, allow me to introduce Mrs. Erlynne.
Ah, yes. Mrs. Erlynne.
So pleased to meet you, Lady Jedburgh. Your nephew and I are great friends. I'm so much interested in his political career. I think he's sure to be a wonderful success. No. He's such a brilliant talker. And we all know from whom he inherits that. Lord Allendale was saying to me only yesterday in the park that Mr. Graham talks almost as well as his aunt.
Most kind of you to say these charming things to me.
Introduce Mrs. Erlynne to Lady Jedburgh?
Had to, my dear fellow. Couldn't help it. That woman can make one do anything she wants. How, I don't know.
To goodness, she won't speak to me.
Lord Windermere.
Mrs. Erlynne.
Do you know, I think I'll dance with you first, Windermere. It will make Lord Augustus so jealous.
My dear Mrs. Erlynne.
Lord Augustus! Lord Windermere insists on my dancing with him first. And as it's his own house, I can't well refuse. You know I'd much sooner dance with you.
Well, I wish I could think so, Mrs. Erlynne.
You know it far too well. I can fancy a person dancing through life with you and finding it charming.
Thank you. You are the most adorable of all ladies.
So simple and so sincere. Just the sort of speech I like. Well, you shall hold my bouquet.
Oh, my pleasure, dear lady.
Oh, Mr. Dumby, how are you? I'm so sorry I've been out the last three times you've called. Come and lunch on Friday.
Delighted.
Come, Lord Windermere. Lord Augustus.
What an absolute brute you are, Dumby. Why did you tell me you didn't know her? What do you mean by calling on her three times running? You are not to go to lunch there.
My dear Laura, I wouldn't dream of going.
Who is she?
She's a Mrs. Erlynne.
that woman?
Yes, that's what everyone calls her.
How very interesting. How intensely interesting. I've heard the most shocking things about her. They say she's ruining poor Windermere. And Lady Windermere, who goes in for being so proper, invites her. Takes a thoroughly good woman to do a thoroughly stupid thing. You are to lunch there on Friday.
Why?
Because I want you to take my husband with you. He's been so attentive lately that he's become a perfect nuisance. Now, this woman is just the thing for him. He'll dance attendance upon her as long as she lets him. I assure you, women of that kind are most useful. They form the basis of other people's marriages.
What a mystery you are.
I wish you were.
I am. To myself. I'm the only person in the world I should like to know thoroughly. I don't see any chance of it just at present.
Mrs. Erlynne coming here is monstrous, Lord Darlington, unbearable. I now know what you meant today at tea time. Why didn't you tell me right out? You should have.
If I had known your husband was going to make you ask her here tonight, Lady Windermere, I think I would have told you. That insult, at any rate, you would have been spared.
I did not ask her. He insisted on her coming against my entreaties, against my commands. I feel that every woman here sneers at me as she dances with my husband. What have I done to deserve this? I gave him all my life. He took it, used it, spoiled it. I am degraded in my own eyes. And I lack courage. I am a coward.
You can't live with a man who treats you like this. You would feel that he was lying to you every moment of the day. You would feel that the look in his eyes was false. His voice false, his touch false, his passion false. He would come to you when he was weary of others. You would have to comfort him. He would come to you when he was devoted to others. You would have to charm him. You would have to be to him the mask of his real life, the cloak to hide his secret.
Where am I to turn? You said you would be my friend, Lord Darlington. Tell me, what am I to do? Be my friend now.
Between men and women, there is no friendship possible. There's passion, enmity, worship, love, but no friendship. I love you.
No.
Yes,
no.
yes, I love you. You are more to me than anything in the world. What does your husband give you? Nothing. I offer you my life.
Lord Darlington.
My life, my whole life. Take it and do with it what you will. I love you as I've never loved any living thing. From the moment I met you, I loved you blindly, adoringly, madly. Leave this house tonight. I won't tell you that the world matters nothing, or the world's voice, or the voice of society. They matter a great deal. But there are moments when one has to choose between living one's own life fully, entirely, completely, or dragging out some false, shallow, degrading existence that the world in its hypocrisy demands. You have that moment now. Choose. Oh, my love, choose.
I have not the courage.
You have the courage. There may be 6 months of pain, of disgrace even, but when you no longer bear his name, when you bear mine, all will be well. Margaret, my love, my wife that shall be someday, go out of this house with head erect, with a smile upon your lips, with courage in your eyes. All London will know why you did it, and who will blame you? No one. It's wrong for a man to abandon his wife for a shameless woman. It's wrong for a wife to remain with a man who so dishonors her. You said once you'd make no compromise with things. Make none now. Be brave. Be yourself.
I am afraid of being myself. Oh, let me think. Let me wait. My husband may return to me.
Oh, and you would take him back? It is the same as every other woman. You would stand anything rather than face the censure of a world whose praise you would despise. In a week, you'll be driving with this woman in the park. She'll be your constant guest, your dearest friend. You would endure anything rather than break this monstrous tie.
Oh, give me time to think. I cannot answer you now.
It must be now, or not at all.
Then not at all.
You break my heart.
Mine is already broken.
Tomorrow I leave England. You will never see me again. For one moment, our lives met. Our souls touched. They must never meet or touch again. Goodbye, Margaret.
How alone.
Dear Margaret, I've just been having such a delightful chat with Mrs. Erlynne. I'm so sorry for what I said to you this afternoon about her. Of course, she must be all right if you invite her.
Don't you see?
A most attractive woman, and such sensible views on life. Told me she entirely disapproved of people marrying more than once. So I feel quite safe about poor Augustus. I can't imagine why people speak against her. Where is Agatha? Ah, oh, there she is. Mr. Hopper. I'm very, very angry with you. You've taken Agatha out on the terrace, and she's so delicate.
Awfully sorry, Duchess. We went out for a moment and then got chatting together.
Ah, about dear Australia, I suppose.
Yes.
Agatha, darling.
Yes, Mama.
Did Mr. Hopper definitely?
Yes, Mama.
And what answer did you give him, dear child?
Yes, Mama.
My dear one, you always say the right thing. Mr. Hopper. James. Agatha has told me everything. How cleverly you've both kept your secret.
You don't mind my taking Agatha off to Australia then, Duchess?
To Australia? Oh, don't mention that dreadful vulgar place.
But she said she'd like to come with me.
Did you say that, Agatha?
Yes, Mama.
Agatha, you say the most silly things possible. I think, on the whole, that Grosvenor Square would be a more healthy place to reside in. There are lots of vulgar people living in Grosvenor Square, but at any rate, there are no horrid kangaroos crawling about. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. You'll come to lunch, of course, James, at 1:30. The Duke will wish to say a few words to you, I'm sure.
I should like to have a chat with the Duke, Duchess. He's not said a single word to me yet.
I think you will find he'll have a great deal to say to you tomorrow. And now, good night. Come, Agatha. We must say our goodbyes to Lady Windermere.
My dear Margaret, what a handsome woman your husband has been dancing with. I should be quite jealous if I were you. Is she a great friend of yours?
No.
Good night, Lady Windermere. What a fascinating woman Mrs. Erlynne is. She's coming to lunch on Thursday. Won't you come too?
I'm afraid I'm engaged, Lady Tipper.
So sorry.
Charming ball it has been, Lord Windermere.
Yes.
That reminds me of the old days. And I see there are just as many fools in society as there used to be. Margaret's grown quite pretty. The last time I saw her, 20 years ago, she was a fright in flannel. And the dear Duchess and that sweet Lady Agatha, just the type of girl I like. Well, really, Windermere, if I am to be the Duchess's sister-in-law...
But are you really?
Oh, yes. Lord Augustus is to call tomorrow at 12 o'clock. He kept on proposing. Poor Augustus, you know how he repeats himself. I told him I wouldn't give him an answer until tomorrow. Of course, I'm going to take him. And I dare say I'll make him an admirable wife. There is a great deal of good in Lord Augustus. Of course, you must help me in this matter.
I'm not called on to encourage Lord Augustus, I suppose.
Oh, no. I do the encouraging. But you will make me a handsome settlement, Windermere, won't you?
Is that what you want to talk to me about tonight?
Yes.
Won't tomorrow do as well?
No. You see, tomorrow I'm going to accept him. And I think it would be a good thing if I were able to tell him that I had, well, what shall I say, £2,000 a year left me by a third cousin or a second husband or some distant relative of that kind. It would be an additional attraction, wouldn't it? What do you say to £2,500? Windermere, don't you think the world an intensely amusing place? I do. Tonight a man who loves me offered me his whole life. I refused it. It was foolish of me. I will offer him mine now. I will go to him. Arthur has never understood me. He may do as he chooses now with his life. I have done with mine as I think best, as I think right. It is he who has broken the bond of marriage, not I. I only break its bondage.
Is Lady Windermere in the ballroom?
Her ladyship has just gone out of the house.
Out of the house?
Yes, madam. Her ladyship told me she would leave a letter for his lordship on the hall table.
A letter for Lord Windermere?
Yes, madam.
Thank you.
A letter addressed to her husband. Impossible. Life doesn't repeat its tragedies like that. Why do I remember now the one moment of my life I most wish to forget? Does life repeat its tragedies? Oh, how terrible. The same words that 20 years ago I wrote to her father. And how bitterly I've been punished for it.
Mrs. Irving, have you said goodnight to my wife?
Yes.
Where is she?
She's gone to bed. She said she had a headache.
I must go to her. You'll excuse me.
It's nothing serious. She's very tired, that's all. Besides, there are people still in the supper room. She wants you to make her apologies to them. She said she didn't want to be disturbed. She asked me to tell you.
You've dropped something.
Oh, yes, thank you. That is mine.
But it's my wife's handwriting, isn't it?
Yes, it's an address. Will you ask them to call my carriage, please?
Certainly.
Thanks. What can I do? The daughter must not be like the mother. That would be terrible. A moment may ruin a life. Who knows that better than I? Windermere must be got out of the house. That is absolutely necessary.
Dear lady, I am in such suspense. May I not have an answer to my request?
Lord Augustus, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You are to take Lord Windermere down to your club at once and keep him there as long as possible. You understand?
But you said you wished me to keep early hours.
Do what I tell you. Do what I tell you.
And my reward?
Your reward? Ask me that tomorrow, but don't let Windermere out of your sight tonight. If you do, I will never speak to you again. Remember, keep Windermere at your club and don't let him come back tonight.
Well, really, I might be her husband already. Positively, I might.
Arthur must have read my letter by this time. If he cared for me, he would have come after me, would have taken me back by force.
doesn't care. He's entrammelled by this woman. Fascinated by her, dominated by her. If a woman wants to hold a man, she has merely to appeal to what is worst in him. We make gods of men and they leave us. Others make brutes of them and they fawn and are faithful. How hideous life is. Which is the worst, I wonder? To be at the mercy of a man who loves one? Or the wife of a man who in one's own house dishonors one? Is Lord Darlington at home?
He will return shortly, madam.
Then I shall wait in his rooms. Will he love me always, this man to whom I'm giving my life? What do I bring him? Lips that have lost the note of joy. Eyes that are blinded by tears, chill hands, icy heart. I bring him nothing. Oh, I can't go back. That fatal letter. Lord Darlington leaves England tomorrow. I will go with him. I have no choice. We'll go back. Let Arthur do with me what he pleases. It has been madness, my coming. I'm scold once. As for Lord Darlington... Oh, here he is. What shall I do?
Lady Windermere, thank heaven I am in time.
Mrs. Erling!
You must go back to your husband's house immediately.
Must?
Yes, you must. There is not a second to be lost. Lord Darlington may return at any moment.
Don't come near me.
You are on the brink of ruin. You must leave this place at once. My carriage is waiting at the corner of the street. Come with me.
Mrs. Erling, if you had not come here, I would have gone back. But now I feel nothing in the whole world would induce me to live under the same roof as Lord Windermere. There is something about you that stirs the wildest rage in me. I know why you're here. My husband sent you to lure me back that I might serve as a blind to whatever relations exist between you and him.
You don't think that. You
can't. Go back to my husband, Mrs. Erling. He belongs to you and not to me. I suppose he's afraid of a scandal. Men are such cowards. They outrage every law in the world and are afraid of the world's tongue. But he shall have the worst scandal there has been in London for years.
No, no.
Yes, he shall. I admit, I would have gone back to the life of degradation you and he had prepared for me. But to stay himself at home... And to send you as his messenger.
Lady Windermere, your husband doesn't know you are here. He thinks you are asleep in your own room. He never read that letter you wrote to him.
Never read it?
He knows nothing about it.
If my husband didn't read my letter, how is it that you are here? Who told you where I had gone to? My husband told you and sent you to decoy me back.
Your husband has never seen the letter. I saw it. I opened it. I read it.
You opened a letter of mine to my husband? You wouldn't dare.
To save you from the abyss into which you are falling, there is nothing in the world I would not dare. Your husband has never read the letter. It should never have been written.
How do I
know? What object do you think I have in coming here except to save you from the consequence of a hideous mistake?
I cannot trust you. You, whose whole life is a lie. How could you speak the truth about anything?
Think as you like about me. Say what you choose against me, but go back to the husband you love.
I do not love
you
him.
You do, and you know that he loves you.
He does not understand what love is. He understands it as little as you do. I see what you want. It would be a great advantage for you to get me back, dear heaven. What
What a life I would have then, living at the mercy of a woman who has neither mercy or pity in her. A woman whom it is an infamy to meet, a degradation to know, a vile woman. A woman who comes between husband and wife.
Lady Windermere, don't say such terrible, unjust things. You must listen. Only go back to your husband. And I promise you never to communicate with him again on any pretext. Never to see him. Never to have anything to do with his life or yours. The money that he gave me not through love, but through hatred. Not in worship, but in contempt. The hold I have over
him. Ah, you admit you have a hold?
Yes, and I will tell you what it is. It is his love for you, Lady Windermere.
You expect me to believe that?
You must believe it. It is true. It is his love for you that has made him submit to, call it what you like, tyranny, threats, anything you choose, but it is his love for you. His desire to spare you shame and disgrace.
What do you mean?
You may never meet such a love again in your whole life. And if you throw it away, the day may come when you will starve for love, and it will not be given to you. Beg for love, and it will be denied you. Arthur loves you.
Arthur, and you tell me there is nothing between
you. Lady Windermere, before heaven, your husband is guiltless of all offence towards you, and I tell you that had it ever occurred to me that such a monstrous suspicion would enter your mind, I would have died rather than have crossed your life or his.
You talk as if you had a heart. Women like you have no hearts. You are bought and sold.
Believe what you choose about me. I'm not worth a moment's sorrow. But don't spoil your beautiful young life on my account. You don't know what may be in store for you. You don't know what it is to be despised, mocked, abandoned, sneered at, to be an outcast. To find the door shut against one. To have to creep in by hideous byways, afraid every moment lest the mask should be stripped from one's face and all the while to hear the laughter. The horrible laughter of the world. A thing more tragic than all the tears the world has ever shed. You don't know what that is. One pays for one's sin. And then one pays again, and all one's life one pays. You must never know that. As for me, if suffering be an expiation, then at this moment I have expiated all my faults. Tonight you have made a heart in one who had it not. Made it. Unbroken it. I may have wrecked my own life, but I will not let you wreck yours. You would be lost. You haven't got the kind of brains that enables a woman to get back. You have neither the wit nor the courage.
How dare you?
No, no. You couldn't stand dishonour. Go back, Lady Windermere, to the husband who loves you, whom you love. You have a child, Lady Windermere. Go back to that child, who even now may be calling to you. God gave you that child. He will require from you that you make his life fine. That you watch over him. What answer will you make to God if his life is ruined through you? Lady Windermere, your husband has never swerved for a moment from the love he bears you. But even if he had 1,000 loves, you must stay with your child. If he was harsh to you, you must stay with your child. If he ill-treated you, you must stay with your child. If he abandoned you, your place is with your child. Lady Windermere.
Take me home. Take me home.
Where is your cloak?
Here. Yeah. your plot. You have sent for him. I'm here to save you if I can. There, hide behind the curtain. First chance you have, slip out.
And you?
Oh, never mind about me. I'll slip out through the other door.
What a nuisance, they're turning us out of the club.
Yeah.
It's only 2 o'clock. A lively part of the evening. Oh, it's only just beginning.
It's very good of you, Lord Darling, to allowing Augustus to force our company on you, but I'm afraid I can't stay long.
Oh, really? I'm so sorry. You'll take a cigar, won't you?
Thanks. My dear boy, you must not dream of going. I have a great deal to talk to you about. Damned importance, too.
Oh, we all know what that is. Tuppy can't talk about anything but Mrs.
Well, that is no business of yours, is it, Cecil?
None. That is why it interests me. My own business always bores me to death. Mm-hmm. I prefer other people.
Have something to drink, you fellows. Oh, well, Cecil, you'll have a whiskey and soda.
Thanks. Mrs. Early looked very handsome tonight, didn't she?
Yes. I am not one of her admirers.
I usedn't to be, but I am now.
Oh, clever woman, Mrs. Erlin.
Hello, Dumby. I thought you were asleep.
I am. I usually am.
A very clever woman. Knows perfectly well what a damn fool I am. Knows it as well as I do myself. Ah, you may laugh, my boy, but it's a great thing to come across a woman who thoroughly understands one.
It's an awfully dangerous thing. They always end by marrying once.
But I thought, Tuppy, you were never going to see her again. You told me so yesterday evening at the club. You said...
Oh, she's explained.
And the Wiesbaden affair?
She's explained that, too.
And her income, Tuppy? Has she explained that? Mm.
She's going to explain that tomorrow.
Awfully commercial women nowadays.
Now you want to make her out a wicked woman. She is not.
Oh, wicked women bother one, good women bore one. That is the only difference between them.
Now, Mrs. Erlin has a future before her.
Mrs. Erlin has a past before her.
I prefer women with a past. They're always so damned amusing to talk to.
Well, you'll have lots of topics of conversation with her, Tuppy.
You're getting annoying, dear boy. You're getting damned annoying.
Tuppy, you've lost your figure and you've lost your character. Don't lose your temper. You've only got one.
My dear boy, if I wasn't the most good-natured man in London...
We'd treat you with more respect, wouldn't we, Tuppy?
The youth of the present day are quite monstrous. They've absolutely no respect for dyed hair.
Dumby, you are ridiculous. And Cecil, you let your tongue run away with you.
Yes.
You must... Leave Mrs. Erlin alone. You're always talking scandal against her.
My dear Arthur, I never talk scandal. I only talk gossip.
And what is the difference between scandal and gossip?
Now, gossip is charming. History is merely gossip. But scandal is gossip made tedious by morality.
Yes, just my sentiments, my dear boy, just my sentiments.
Sorry to hear it, Tuppy. Whenever people agree with me, I always feel I must be wrong.
My dear boy, when I was your age...
But you never were, Tuppy, and you never will be. I say, Darlington, let us have some cards. You'll play, Arthur, won't you?
No, thanks, Cecil.
Oh, good heavens, how marriage ruins a man. It's as demoralising as cigarette, and far more expensive.
You'll play, of course, Tuppy.
You can't, dear boy. Promised Mrs. Erlin never to play or drink again.
Now, my dear Tuppy, don't be led astray into the paths of virtue. Reformed, you will be perfectly tedious. That is the worst of women. They always want one to be good. And if we are good, when they meet us, they don't love us at all. They like to find us quite irretrievably bad and to leave us quite unattractively good.
They always do find us bad.
Yeah.
I don't think we're bad. I think we're all good. Except Tuppy.
No, we are all in the gutter. But some of us are looking at the stars.
You're all in the gutter? But some of us are looking at the stars. Upon my word, you're very romantic tonight, Darlington.
Too romantic. You must be in love.
Oh.
Who is the girl?
The woman I love is not free, or thinks she isn't.
Ah. A married woman? Ah. Well, there's nothing in the world like the devotion of a married woman. It's a thing no married man knows anything about.
Oh, she doesn't love me. She is a good woman. She is the only good woman I have ever met in my life.
The only good woman you've ever met in your life?
Yes.
Well, You are a lucky fellow. Why, I have met hundreds of good women. I never seem to meet any but good women.
This woman has purity and innocence. She has everything we men have lost.
She doesn't really love you, then?
No, she does not.
I congratulate you, my dear fellow. In this world, there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. The last is much the worst. The last is a real tragedy. But I'm interested to hear she does not love you. How long could you love a woman who didn't love you, Cecil?
A woman who didn't love me? Oh, all my life.
So could I. But it's so difficult to meet one.
How can you be so conceited, Dumby?
I didn't say it as a matter of conceit. I said it as a matter of regret. I have been wildly, madly adored.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I have. It's been an immense nuisance. I should like to be allowed a little time to myself now and then.
What cynics you fellows are.
What is a cynic?
A man who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing.
And a sentimentalist, my dear Darlington, is a man who sees an absurd value in everything and doesn't know the market price of any single thing.
You always amuse me, Cecil. You talk as if you were a man of experience.
I am.
You are far too young.
That is a great error. Experience is a question of instinct about life. I have got it. Tuppy hasn't.
What?
Experience is the name Tuppy gives to his mistakes. That is all.
Now, look here.
Experience is the name everyone gives to their mistakes.
One shouldn't commit any. Oh. Oh, hello.
Life would be very dull without mistakes.
Of course, you're quite faithful to this good woman you're in love with, Darlington.
Cecil, if one really loves a woman, all other women in the world become absolutely meaningless to one.
Yeah.
Love changes one. I am changed.
Dear me, how very interesting. Tuppy, I want to talk to you.
There's no use talking to Tuppy. You might just as well talk to a brick wall.
But I like talking to a brick wall. It's the only thing in the world that never contradicts me. Tuppy.
Well, what is it?
Come over here. I want you particularly.
Oh, very well. What is it?
Darlington has been moralising and talking about the purity of love and that sort of thing. And he has got some woman in his rooms all the time.
No. Really? Really?
Yes, look. Here is her fan.
Oh, by Jove.
By Jove.
I'm really off now, Lord Darlington. I'm sorry you're leaving England so soon. Pray call on us when you come back. My wife and I will be charmed to see you.
I'm afraid I should be away for many years. Good night.
Arthur.
What?
I want to speak to you for a moment. It will interest you enormously.
Right, dear fellow, you mustn't go yet. Cecil has something to show you.
Well, what is it?
Darlington has got a woman in his rooms. Here is her fan. Amusing, isn't it?
Good God.
What is the matter?
Lord Darlington.
Yes?
What is my wife's fan doing here in your rooms?
What? Your wife's fan?
Yes. Here it is. I don't know. I demand an explanation. Speak, sir! Why is my wife's fan here? Answer me! By God, I'll search your rooms, and if my wife's
you
here...
You shall I'll... not search my rooms, I forbid you.
You scoundrel! I'll not leave your rooms till I have searched every corner of them. This is early.
Lord Windermere. I'm afraid I took your wife's fan and mistake for my own when I was leaving your house tonight. I'm so sorry. The true reason of her being there and the real meaning of that fatal fan of mine.
he knows, how can I look him in the face again? He would never forgive me. How securely one thinks one lives, out of reach of temptation, sin, folly, and then suddenly... Oh, life is terrible. It rules us. We do not rule it.
Did your ladyship ring for me?
Yes, Parker. Have you found out at what time Lord Windermere came in last night?
His lordship did not come in till 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock? He knocked at my door this morning, didn't he?
Yes, my lady, at 9:30. I told him your ladyship was not awake yet.
Did he say anything?
Something about your ladyship's fan. Has the fan been lost, my lady? It cannot be found in any of the rooms.
It doesn't matter. That will do.
Yes, ma'am.
She's sure to tell him. Why should she hesitate between her ruin and mine? How strange. I would have publicly disgraced her in my own house. She accepts public disgrace in the house of another to save me. There's a bitter irony in things, a bitter irony in the way we talk of good and bad women. What a lesson. And what a pity that in life we get our lessons when they are of no use to us. For even if she doesn't tell, I must. Oh, the shame of it. To tell it is to live through it all again. Actions are the first tragedy of life. Words are the second. Words are perhaps the worst. Words are merciless. Oh.
Margaret. How pale you look.
I slept very badly.
I'm so sorry. I came in dreadfully late and didn't like to wake you. You're crying, dear.
I have something to tell you, Arthur.
Oh, my dear child, you're not well. You've been doing too much. Let us go away to the country. The season's almost over. Oh, poor darling. We'll go today, if you like.
I can't go today, Arthur. There is someone I must see before I leave town. Someone who has been kind to me.
Kind to you?
I will tell you, Arthur, but only love me. Love me as you used to love me.
Used to? You're not thinking of that wretched woman who came here last night. You don't still imagine, no.
No, I don't. I know I was wrong and foolish.
It was very good of you to receive her last night. But you are never to see her again.
Why do you say that?
Margaret, I thought Mrs. Erlynne was a woman more sinned against than sinning, as the phrase goes. I thought she wanted to be good, to get back into a place that she'd lost by a moment's folly, to lead again a decent life. I was mistaken in her. She is as bad as a woman can be.
Arthur, don't talk so bitterly about any woman. I don't think now that people can be divided into good and bad as though they were two separate races or creations. What are called good women may have terrible things in them. Mad moods of recklessness, assertion, jealousy, sin. Bad women, as they are termed, may have in them sorrow, repentance, pity, sacrifice. And I don't think Mrs. Erlynne a bad woman. I know she's not.
My dear child, the woman's impossible. No matter what harm she tries to do us, you must never see her again.
But I want to see her.
Never!
She came here once as your guest. She must come here now as mine. That is but fair.
She should never have come here.
It is too late, Arthur, to say that now.
Margaret! If you knew where Mrs. Erlynne went last night after she left this house, you would not sit in the same room with her. It was absolutely shameless, the whole thing.
Arthur, I can't bear it any longer. Last night...
Mrs. Erlynne has called to return your ladyship's fan, which she took away by mistake last night.
Ooh. Ask Mrs. Erlynne to be kind enough to come in. Say I shall be very glad to see her.
Yes, ma'am.
Margaret... I beg you not to. She's a very dangerous woman.
It is right that I should see her.
My child, you may be on the brink of a great sorrow. I must see her before you do.
But why?
Mrs. Erlynne.
How do you do, Lady Windermere? How do you do, Lord Windermere?
Do you know, Lady Windermere, I am so sorry about your fan. I can't imagine how I made such a silly mistake. Most stupid of me. And as I was driving in your direction, I thought I would take the opportunity of returning your property in person, with many apologies for my carelessness, and of bidding you goodbye.
Goodbye? Are you going away then, Mrs. Erlynne?
Yes, I'm going to live abroad again. The English climate doesn't suit me. My heart is affected here, and that I don't like. I prefer living in the south. London is too full of fogs and serious people, Lord Windermere. Whether the fogs produce the serious people or whether the serious people produce the fogs, I don't know, but the whole thing rather gets on my nerves. So I'm leaving this afternoon by the club train.
This afternoon? But I wanted so much to come and see you.
How kind of you. But I'm afraid I have to go.
Shall I never see you again, Mrs. Erlynne?
I'm afraid not. Our lives lie too far apart. But there is a little thing I would like you to do for me. I want a photograph of you, Lady Windermere. Would you give me one?
Oh, with pleasure. There is one on that table.
Mrs. Erlynne, it is monstrous you're intruding yourself here after your conduct last night.
My dear Windermere, manners before morals.
I'm afraid it is very flattering. I am not so pretty as that.
You were much prettier. Haven't you got one of yourself with your little boy?
I have. Would you prefer one of those?
Yes.
I have one upstairs. Excuse me for a moment.
Thanks so much.
You seem rather out of temper this morning, Windermere. Why should you be? Margaret and I get on charmingly together.
I can't bear to see you with her. Besides, you've not told me the truth, Mrs. Erlynne.
I've not told her the truth, you mean?
I sometimes wish you had. I should have been spared the misery, the anxiety, the annoyance of the last 6 months. But rather than my wife should know that the mother whom she was taught to consider as dead, the mother whom she has mourned as dead, is living. A divorced woman, going about under an assumed name, a bad woman preying upon life as I know you now to be. Rather than that, I was ready to supply you with money, to pay bill after bill, extravagance after extravagance, to risk what occurred yesterday, the first quarrel I've ever had with my wife. You don't understand what that means to me. But I tell you that the only bitter words that ever came from those sweet lips of hers were on your account, and I hate to see you next to her. You sully the innocence that is in her. I used to think that with all your faults, you were frank and honest. You're not.
Why do you say that?
You made me get you an invitation to my wife's ball.
For my daughter's ball, yes.
You came, and within an hour of your leaving the house, you're found in a man's rooms. You are disgraced before everyone.
Yes.
Therefore, I have a right to look upon you as what you are, a worthless, vicious woman. I have the right to tell you never to enter this house again, never to attempt to come near my wife.
My daughter, you mean?
You have no right to claim her as your daughter. You left her, abandoned her when she was but a child in the cradle, abandoned her for your lover, who abandoned you in turn.
Do you count that to his credit, Lord Windermere, or to mine?
To his, now that I know you.
Take care. You had better be careful.
Oh, I'm not going to mince words for you. I know you thoroughly.
I question that.
I do know you. For 20 years of your life, you lived without your child, without a thought of your child. You read in the papers that she'd married a rich man. You saw your hideous chance. You knew that to spare her the ignominy of learning that a woman like you was her mother, I would endure anything. You began your blackmailing.
Don't use ugly words, Windermere. They are vulgar. I saw my chance, it is true, and took it.
Yes, you took it. And spoiled it all last night by being found out.
You're quite right. I spoiled it all last night.
And as for your blunder in taking my wife's fan from here and then leaving it about in Darlington's rooms, it's unpardonable. I can't bear the sight of it now. I shall never let my wife use it again. The thing is soiled for me. You should have kept it and not brought it back.
I think I shall keep it. It's extremely pretty. I shall ask Margaret to give it to me.
I wish that at the same time she'd give you a miniature she kisses every night before she prays. It's a miniature of a young, innocent-looking girl with beautiful, dark hair.
Ah, yes, I remember. How long ago that seems. It was done before I was married. Dark hair and an innocent expression were the fashion then, Windermere.
What do you mean by coming here this morning? What is your object?
To bid goodbye to my dear daughter, of course. Don't imagine I'm going to have a pathetic scene with her. Weep on her neck and tell her who I am and all that kind of thing. I've no ambition to play the part of a mother. Only once in my life have I known a mother's feelings. That was last night. They were terrible. They made me suffer too much. For 20 years, as you say, I have lived childless. I want to live childless still. Besides, my dear Windermere, how on earth could I pose as a mother with a grown-up daughter? Margaret is 21. And I've never admitted that I'm more than 29 or 30 at the most. No, as far as I'm concerned, let your wife cherish the memory of this dead, stainless mother. Why should I interfere with her illusions? Find it hard enough to keep my own. I lost one illusion last night. I thought I had no heart. I find I have. And a heart doesn't suit me, Windermere. Somehow, it doesn't go with modern dress. It makes one look old, and it spoils one's career at critical moments.
You fill me with horror. Absolute horror.
I suppose, Windermere, you'd like me to retire into a convent. Or become a hospital nurse or something of that kind, as people do in silly modern novels. That is stupid of you, Arthur. In real life, we don't do such things. Not so long as we have any good looks left, at any rate. What consoles one nowadays is not repentance, but pleasure. And besides, if a woman really repents, she has to go to a bad dressmaker. Otherwise, no one believes in her. And nothing in the world would induce me to do that, no. I am going to pass entirely out of your two lives. My coming into them has been a mistake. I discovered that last night.
A fatal mistake.
Almost fatal.
I'm sorry now. I did not tell my wife the whole thing at once.
I regret my bad actions. You regret your good ones. That is the difference between us.
I don't trust you. I will tell my wife. It's better for her to know, and from me. It will cause her infinite pain. It will humiliate her terribly, but it's right that she should know.
You propose to tell her?
I'm going to tell her.
If you do, I will make my name so infamous that it will mar every moment of her life. It will ruin her and make her wretched. If you dare to tell her, there is no depth of degradation I will not sink to. You shall not tell her. I forbid you.
Why?
If I said to you that I cared for her, perhaps loved her even, you would sneer at me, wouldn't you?
I should feel it was not true. A mother's love means devotion, unselfishness, sacrifice. What could you know of such things?
You were right. What could I know of such things? Don't let us talk any more about it. As for telling my daughter who I am, that I do not allow. It is my secret. It is not yours.
Then let me beg of you to leave our house at once. I will make your excuses to Margaret.
So sorry, Mrs. Erlin, to have kept you waiting. I couldn't find the photograph anywhere. Last I discovered it in my husband's dressing room. He had stolen it here.
I'm not surprised. It is charming. So this is your little boy. What is he called?
Gerard, after my dear father.
Really?
Yes. If it had been a girl, I would have called it after my mother. My mother had the same name as myself, Margaret.
My name is Margaret, too.
Indeed.
Yes. You are devoted to your mother's memory, Lady Windermere, your husband tells me.
We all have ideals in life. At least we all should have. Mine is my mother.
Ideals are dangerous things. Realities are better. They wound, but they're better.
If I lost my ideals, I should lose everything.
Everything?
Yes.
Did your father often speak to you of your mother?
No. It gave him too much pain. He told me how my mother had died a few months after I was born. His eyes filled with tears as he spoke. And he begged me never to mention her name to him again. Made him suffer even to hear it. My father really died of a broken heart.
I'm afraid I must go now, Lady Windermere.
Oh, no, don't.
I think I had better.
Arthur, would you mind seeing if Mrs. Erlynne's carriage has come back?
Pray, don't trouble Lord Windermere.
Yes, Arthur, do go.
Surely Parker will...
Please.
Oh, very well. I shall go myself.
What am I to say to you? You saved me last night.
Hush. Don't speak of it.
I must speak of it. I can't let you think that I'm going to accept this sacrifice. It is too great. I'm going to tell my husband everything. It is my duty.
It is not your duty. At least, you have duties to others besides him. You say you owe me something?
I owe you everything.
And pay your debt by silence. That is the only way in which it can be paid. Don't spoil the one good thing I've done in my life by telling it to anyone. Promise me that what passed last night will remain a secret between us. You must not bring misery into your husband's life. Love is easily killed. Pledge me your word, Lady Windermere, that you will never tell him. I insist upon it.
It is your will, not mine.
Yes, it is my will. And never forget your child. I like to think of you as a mother. I like you to think of yourself as one.
I always will now. Only once in my life have I forgotten my own mother. That was last night. If I'd remembered her, I should not have been so foolish, so wicked.
Last night is quite over.
Your carriage has not come back yet, Mrs. Erlynne.
It makes no matter. And now, dear Lady Windermere, I'm afraid it really is goodbye. Oh, I remember. You think me absurd, but, you know, I've taken a great fancy to this fan that I was silly enough to run away with last night from your ball. Now, I wonder, would you give it to me? Lord Windermere says you may.
Oh, certainly, if it will give you any pleasure. But it has my name on it. It has Margaret on it.
But we have the same Christian name.
Oh, I forgot. Of course, do have it. What a wonderful chance, our names being the same.
Quite wonderful. Thanks. It will always remind me of you.
Lord Augustus Lawton. And Mrs. Erlynne's carriage has come.
Good morning, dear boy. Good morning, Lady Windermere.
Augustus.
Mrs. Erlynne.
How do you do, Lord Augustus? Are you quite well this morning?
Quite well, thank you, Mrs. Erlynne.
You don't look at all well, Lord Augustus. You stop up too late. It is so bad for you. You really should take more care of yourself. Goodbye, Lord Windermere.
Mrs. Erlynne.
Lord Augustus, won't you see me to my carriage? You might carry the fan.
Allow me.
No, I want Lord Augustus. I have a special message for the dear Duchess. Won't you carry the fan, Lord Augustus?
If you really desire it, Mrs. Erlynne.
Of course I do. You'll carry it so gracefully. You would carry off anything gracefully, dear Lord Augustus. Yes. Goodbye, Lady Windermere.
Goodbye. You will never speak against Mrs. Erlynne again, Arthur, will you?
She is better than one thought her.
She is better than I am.
Child, you and she belong to different worlds. Into your world, evil has never entered.
Don't say that, Arthur. There is the same world for all of us. And good and evil, sin and innocence go through it hand in hand.
Darling, why do you say that?
Because I, who had shut my eyes to life, came to the brink. Oh, Arthur, don't love me less, and I will trust you more. I will trust you absolutely. Let us go to the country.
Arthur, Mrs. Erlynne has explained everything. We all wronged her immensely. It was entirely for my sake she went to Darlington's rooms. The call first at the club. Fact is, she wanted to put me out of my suspense. And being told I had gone on, followed. Well, naturally frightened when she heard a lot of us coming in, retired to another room. Now, I assure you, it's most gratifying to me, the whole thing. We all behaved brutally to her.
She's just the woman for me. Suits me down to the ground. All the conditions she makes are that we live entirely out of England. Very good thing, too. Damn clubs. Damn climate. Damn cooks. Damn everything. Sick of it all.
Has Mrs. Erlynne...
Yes, Lady Windermere. Mrs. Erlynne has done me the honour of accepting my hand.
Well, you are certainly marrying a very clever woman.
Ah, you're marrying a very good woman.
In Lady Windermere's Fan by Oscar Wilde, dramatised for radio by Micheline Wonder, Eleanor Tremaine played Lady Windermere, Jonathan Cake, Lord Windermere, Isla Blair, Mrs. Erlynne, and David Calder, Lord Darlington. The Duchess of Berwick was played by Elizabeth Spriggs, Dumby by Paul Brook, Lord Augustus by Derek Waring, Cecil Graham by Andrew Wincott, Lady Agatha by Jasmine Hyde, Hopper by Terence Edmund, Lady Plimdale by Richenda Carey, and Lady Jedburgh by Helen Ayres. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Original music was composed and performed by Simon Moorcroft. Technical presentation was by Simon Moorcroft, and the broadcast assistant was Lizzie Hart. Lady Windermere's Fan was directed by Gordon House.